I'm joined by Dr. Fahim Yunus. He's the president of the Baltimore chapter of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA. He's also a senior fellow at the Hofberger Center for Ethics at the University of Baltimore. It's great to have him back on the program. Dr. Yunus, we are here to talk about drones and drone policy, and there's been so much news in the last few days. We have, of course, testimony in American Congress from survivors of drone attacks. We have increased information about the sanctioning within Pakistan of drone policy, at least to some extent. And of course, we're constantly learning more about cases where a farmer farming at night, for example, mistaken for someone who is committing some kind of crime, is incorrectly the victim of a drone strike. Where do you see the most a pragmatic argument when it comes to drones right now? What's the area where we could really try to hammer out some of the issues, if you will?
It's extremely ironic, Dave. First of all, thank you very much for having me on. Drone strikes are like you have a young girl with a mosquito sitting on her cheek, and we try to slap that mosquito, or we try to fire at that girl and then expect that no collateral damage will happen. We know for the past 10 years that drone strikes are ineffective because we have not weakened Al-Qaeda. We were fighting Al-Qaeda in around Arabian Sea 10 years ago, and today we are fighting Al-Qaeda around Mediterranean Sea, 2,000 miles away from that spot. And in Mali, that's another 2,000 miles away. So we know that Al-Qaeda is not weakened. What is important is for us to come together and as a people really see, is this the best that America has to produce? Because for every important target that we hit with a drone, there are about 50 civilians dead. This is according to David McKillen. A few years ago, he wrote a piece in New York Times. So right now, what we know for sure is that drones don't work. They do not keep us safe. What is the alternative? That's a much longer conversation.
Well, I think that there's, so to comment on what you said, we have to, number one, remember that there are different groups of Al-Qaeda. So to say, broadly speaking, that Al-Qaeda has or hasn't been weakened because they are now 2,000 miles from where they were, we have to kind of look at segments of Al-Qaeda. So I would issue that note of caution. But going further to this idea of the collateral damage, we have to consider not only the collateral damage, but we also have to think about the number of new enemies that each drone strike can create. And I've been doing some reading about that. And it actually turns out that even putting aside the collateral damage momentarily, let's pretend for a second that we could target and only kill the actual people we want to kill, we may be creating more than one enemy with each enemy that is killed.
There is no question about that, Dave. Just look at Faisal Shahzad in 2010, the gentleman who tried to explode, you know, his SUV in Times Square. His testimony is pretty clear. He resented the drone strikes. Talk of Tsarnaev Brothers, the bombings in Boston. I am in no shape or form trying to defend these terrorists. Ahmadiyya Muslim community, we are the victims of terrorism at the hands of Taliban. But at the same time, we must stand up for justice. Where is the justice when one out of four victims of drone strikes is dubbed as unknown militant? Essentially, that says that we don't have a clue one out of four times, 25% of the time, as who we are killing. So you're right that we are only going to create more enemies for our children.
There are some pragmatic problems, though, and I'll list two of them. Number one, we know that the conversation about, well, instead of doing drone strikes, we should do nothing, is a completely unrealistic conversation. Yeah. Because that wouldn't be the case. If the U.S. were not doing drone strikes, we would be doing, we would have much, much bigger involvement in many of these areas. And then the other point where pragmatism needs to take some kind of presence is that we have now information about Pervez Rashid declaring that former President Musharraf is going to be put on trial for sanctioning drone attacks. And there has been more information coming out about the sanctioning of these drone attacks. If even the country where the droning is taking place is either implicitly or explicitly okay with it, how are Americans going to be able to change the policy?
Very good point. Excellent point. And I do not oppose drone strikes because the president of Pakistan, Nawaz Sharif, opposes them. Because this is what Americans need to know about Nawaz Sharif. This is a man who was in exile in Saudi Arabia, who now comes back with a very clear vision of negotiating with Taliban, with negotiating a Sharia law for Pakistan. The first thing he said after coming into power, that he wanted to negotiate with Taliban. One of the first decisions he made was to sideline the Human Rights Ministry, which is now not a standalone ministry in Pakistan. It is working under the Law and Justice Department. This is the track record of the man who's literally in bed with Taliban and Lashkar-e-Jhangvi, a terrorist organization. So I have absolutely no sympathy. I do not condemn drone strikes because the Pakistani prime minister does so, because this guy is in bed with Taliban. What we have to see, though, is why did Taliban attack Malala Yousafzai, a 14, 15-year-old girl? Because here is an insight for us as Americans. I know this is not a quick fix. I know the country is not going to call it practical today. But Taliban are not afraid of bombs. They're afraid of books. That is what they're afraid of. We should spend that money in establishing schools in Pakistan and Waziristan and save the next generation, Dave. Nicholas Kristof wrote a nice piece where he said that the cost of one soldier in Afghanistan for 1 year, in that cost, we could establish 20 schools. Time flies by. I know this is not a short-term strategy, but unless somebody thinks long-term, the kids who are being, you know, who are being harassed today, whose parents are being killed in those drone attacks, they are going to be, some of them, they could be the terrorists of tomorrow.
We have to also consider the other side of this, which is, you and I have been focusing mostly on what hasn't worked and what doesn't work about these policies, but there will be those who will say it. And even if we disagree broadly, there are cases where we do have the correct information that there is an individual that can be targeted by one of these strikes. Presumably, let's assume we have the support of the host country, the country where the individual is living. And let's say we can pull off that drone strike without collateral damage. Let's say technology continues to improve. Is there not some responsibility, if you do have actionable intelligence and you can eliminate those collateral damages, to take that person out in the interest of preventing more deaths at their hands?
Here is where the logic breaks, Dave. When you look at Gallup earlier this year, they came out with a survey. 65% of Americans would say yes to that question that you just posed. However, if you change the scenario and you say that terrorist is a U.S. citizen and that terrorist is hiding somewhere in America, that number drops from 65% to 13%. I think that's at the heart of the issue here.
So there's a double standard, right?
Because there's a double standard. You know, if that terrorist who's now in America, he's more likely to kill more Americans, yet 13%, 87% of Americans would say no to that. That is really my point. I think we as Americans, we are taught liberty and justice in our schools, in our Pledge of Allegiance. It's extremely difficult to take it out of our DNA. When we see that injustice on our own soil, we speak up. Why not speak up when that injustice is happening in another country?
Very quickly, this year we've seen a drop-off in the number of drone attacks, at least from the information that is public and we can glean. Do you think that this has been in part the result of the conversations that have started in the U.S. and there's been significant backlash the more that Americans have learned about these attacks? Or is that simply a coincidence and there's other reasons we don't know for the reduction?
There's no way to know for sure. But if I had to guess, I would say yes, there is a response to the increasing awareness of this issue, because now more and more Americans will become aware of it. So I think there is a direct correlation, but that's just my gut feeling.
All right, we've been speaking with Dr. Fahim Yunus, Hofberger Center for Ethics and at the University of Baltimore, also president of the Baltimore chapter of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA. Pleasure as always having you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Take care.